we affect God with what we give or do not give to Him. We affect Him because He wants to see if He affects us. Has God touched us? Does it show in our weekly contribution? We can make Him happy or unhappy with our actions during the contribution. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'd like to consider a brief message this morning from verses 6 through 11. Starting at verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, we want to first of all notice the quantity of our harvest, how our giving affects the quantity of our harvest. Here it is written, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Let us hear the message of the harvest. If we sow sparingly, shall we reap bountifully? No. We reap more than we sow, that is true. But sparse sowing limits our harvest. If we want to reap bountifully, Paul says we have to sow bountifully. Even as it takes money to make money in business, and the more money we have, the more money we can make, so it is with Christians, and so it is with the church. If we want our good works to abound, and we want to have the resources to do so, then this passage teaches us that our giving must first abound. Therefore, in verse 7, Paul says that we should give purposefully and cheerfully. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If the laws of verse 6 are true, and they are, we should give careful consideration to our giving. Paul says, let us purpose in our hearts what we're going to give. It cannot be haphazard, nor is it based on the feeling of the moment or simply what we may happen to have on our possession at the moment. It's not the leftovers, but a thoughtful decision on how we are going to worship God by means of the weekly offering, so that no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Or our worship then is only half-baked. Let us give cheerfully, because God gives to us cheerfully. God has no desire for regretful or robotic giving on our parts. Now, to whom are we giving according to this text? To whom are we giving? Well, according to the Holy Spirit here, it is the God of heaven that we give when we put money into the collection plate. What does He see? And what does He see in our hearts? So Paul continues now in verse 8 and says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Okay, Paul, if we do what you said to do in your previous sentences there, if we sow bountifully, shall we lack? He says no. Our God has the power to see to it that all grace, all forms and all types of grace abound toward us. Our God expects us to do good works. Therefore, He will make sure that we will always have all sufficiency, Paul says, in all things. Therefore, my giving is a matter of my trust in God. I am showing my God that I love Him and that I believe He will take care of my things when I take care of His things. Now, if we follow along with Paul as he's been saying in verses 6 through 8, what will happen? Look what he now says in verses 9 through 11. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God gives. He disperses abroad, giving provisions to 6 billion people every day. How does He do it? Shall He take care of these billions daily, but not me? Oh, me of little faith. Our wish for this congregation is that as He supplies seed to the sower, that is the farmer, and bread for food, that He will likewise supply and multiply the seed we have sown and increase the fruits of our righteousness. That is, that He will supply and multiply our resources for doing good works, both here and anywhere that we can extend our influence. Look at the farmers in America alone. Since I was growing up, I've always heard people complaining how farms are disappearing in America. But somehow our waistlines don't show it. Somehow God is still taking care of us. They say only 2% of the American population are farmers anymore. But somehow that's enough. How is that? As the population evidently has increased, so God has increased the ability of the farmers. And we even get food now from other countries of the world. And it is God who is doing it. That's what verse 10 says. God is the one who's supplying seed to the sower. He's first using illustration of the farmer. That same God who's working to make sure that we have more than enough for our bodies can likewise make sure that we have more than enough to do the good works that either we as Christians need or want to be doing, or that He wants the church to be doing. Can this congregation increase its good works? Yes. And the same God who blesses not only America but the world with America's farmers will and is helping this church. Therefore, Paul teaches that we will be enriched in everything for the purpose of all liberality. In every way that we want to be rich in good works, in every way that we want to be liberal in doing good works, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, our God enables all those things. The more liberal we are in doing good things, the more liberal He will be in giving us what we need to do those things. But how is He going to do that? I have no idea. I would guess that the farmers in America 100 years ago had no idea how farmers of the 21st century would produce so abundantly. They had no idea. But somehow God came through. The question is, do we trust our God? If we do, this in turn, Paul argues, will cause thanksgiving through us to God. The lives we touch, those people will thank God and will say, thank God for those people. And it'll be us that they'll be thinking about. So it is really whether we think, can the church do it or can God do it? The church operating on its own is insufficient and inadequate. We can't do it. So Paul doesn't argue here so much about the church, but it's God working through the church. So is my faith in the church or is it in the God who runs all things? Now the last thing that I'd like to say this morning is this. That same God who somehow has the power and the capability to bless the world with seed and then bread for food, Paul says, and that same God who has put the church on the earth and has enabled her to do whatever He wants her to do, that same God also makes available to us by His awesome and unlimited power, forgiveness. From what we see in the Scriptures, regardless of what I have done, regardless of the sin I have committed, if I turn from it and turn to the Lord, my God will forgive me. Can He do that? Yes. Can He feed 6 billion people every day? Yes. Can He forgive my sin? What if I have 6 billion sins in my life? Can He forgive it? Yes, He can. And He does it through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you come in contact with that blood when you are baptized into the death of Jesus. That's when we come in contact with that blood. Because that's when He shed His blood. It was at His death. If you've never experienced that, that flow of forgiveness in your life, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.